Now we go to Chicago and the roller coaster ride that is the mayor's race in that city. We're talking specifically about events involving former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. He has been the front runner both in fundraising and in the polls. But yesterday, on the deadline for the first ballot printing, an Illinois appellate panel ruled that Emanuel had not met the city's residency standard. Today, the state Supreme Court issued a stay of that order, agreed to quickly hear arguments on the residency questions, and ordered that Chicago election officials may not print any ballots without Emanuel's name while the high court decides. The election, by the way, is February 22nd, but early voting is due to begin next week. We're trying to make sense of all this, so we've called Mary Mitchell, a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, and Maria de los Angeles Torres. She's a political science professor, and she's director of the Latin American and Latino Studies Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Ladies, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you.
So, Professor Torres, I'm going to ask you about the legal arguments that the court is going to consider.
Basically, the question is whether or not he was a resident of the city of Chicago. And I think there's two things that are important here. This is a city where, in order to work for the city or for the Board of Education, all our teachers have to live in the city. So it is something that is expected even of the mayor of the city that you at least have been here a year. It is not whether or not you have a right to vote. That's a different set of arguments. The issue is really simple. Was he living here in the city for a year?
Okay. Now, Mary, I wanted to ask you something, because when we've talked to you about this race before, you are one of the people who've been chastising us in the national media to remind us that there's more than one candidate in this race. And you also have pointed out that he was not a particularly popular choice in some ways when he first went back and made his intention to run. So how did he move into first place to begin with?
Money. If you come in already starting off with, you know, $1 million in your war chest, if you can brag that you have and boast that you have worked as the chief of staff of a very popular president here, President Barack Obama, and if you have made connections, the kinds of connections that you need to, you know, shine, then I think that you would be very easy to emerge as a front runner in this type of a race.
Do you think he's still a polarizing candidate? I understand, even though that there are a number of candidates who've dropped out of the race trying to consolidate behind a consensus candidate. For example, Congressman Danny Davis has dropped out, throwing his support to Carol Mosley Braun, a former United States senator from Illinois. But is he still sort of a polarizing figure, if I can put it that way?
Definitely. First of all, he started off as a polarizing figure just because he kind of swooped into Chicago and saying, look, I'm going to run. That raises the residency question from the very beginning.
I think his supporters would argue that he didn't swoop in. He swooped back, I think they would say.
But in back, the bottom line is he was not here. He was not, even though we can argue that his heart is here, he grew up here. All of those things are very important. But just as Maria pointed out, you could live here all your life and move to the suburbs. That violates your residency requirement. People are now talking about, well, he didn't give up his residency. He didn't abandon his residency. No, the issue is, did he live here 1 year prior to filing for his nomination petition for mayor? Now, all the other legal arguments, I can't speak to that. All I know is that this is what the law requires.
Is there a precedent?
Not in this regard. He doesn't fit under the exemption for being in the military service. He wasn't in the military service, and he wasn't drafted. He took a job. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing that he took the job. But just because you took a job in a different city, you did not live in the city prior to filing your nominating petition, whether you're running for mayor or alderman, or whether you're applying for a job as a teacher or a fireman, under the state of Illinois law and under the city of Chicago ordinance, that's a requirement that must be fulfilled.
You can't even apply, because in a number of places you have to, you know, for example, in Washington, D.C., you have to live there when you're doing the job. But you're saying you can't even apply for the job until you are resident?
Some jobs in the city of Chicago require you to be a resident.
Okay. Or if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Chicago mayor's race, and we're talking about the fate of frontrunner and former White House chief of staff Rahm Emanuel. A court has been ruling on the question of whether he's even eligible to run. The election is February 22nd, and talking about this with me are Mary Mitchell, a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, and Maria de Los Angeles Torres, the director of Latin American and Latino Studies Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. So, Professor Torres, we mentioned that Carol Mosley Braun, former United States Senator from Illinois, is one of the candidates in the race. Who are the others?
Well, there's Miguel del Valle, who's a city clerk, who has been a state senator for about 20 years prior to that, is polling way behind Gary Chico. And Gary Chico has a long history of being chief of staff, has been on the Board of Education, has been in the Park District. And he clearly is the person who I think stands to gain most from Rahm Emanuel not being on the ballot, because many of the civic leaders, let's say, who have been behind Rahm Emanuel, will probably find him to be the choice. But if I could say just one tiny thing about the question that you asked, Mary, in terms of why Rahm Emanuel is so controversial. You know, there's still a question of exactly what would have happened if he had stayed at the White House. There was clearly a shakeup. And at least some of us asked the question, was he one of those who would have been taken out? And this was sort of an elegant way for him to come back into Chicago, right? The other part is I think that he, at least in the Latino community and many immigrant communities, African immigrants, Indian immigrants, many immigrants, Rahm Emanuel represents that force in the Democratic Party that created the anti-immigrant stance that immigration was the third rail of American politics. And this is a city of immigrants as well as many other aspects of it. But that is one of the things that people have questioned about him. Someone who was in the White House could have done things, did not do them, and in fact advised the president not to take on immigration.
Well, not to mention the fact that mentioning the other candidates whom you've identified could have its second African-American mayor or its first Latino mayor.
Right.
So there's that historical aspect, too. So, Mary, finally, in the minute we have left, we've talked a lot about Rahm, whether he's in, whether he's out. What are the issues? Can we talk about issues for a minute? Is Rahm the issue? Is Rahm Emanuel the issue? Or are there other issues in the race? Or is it really about the who and not so much the what?
I think that what we're seeing here in Chicago is an opportunity. This is exciting for Chicagoans because it's the first time that there is an open election. And so the issues are now looking at what's going on in the communities, what's going on in neighborhoods, what's going on with the schools, what's going on with the police department and with crime. Those are things that all of these candidates have talked about. And unfortunately, this whole debate and this court battle over a residency requirement for Rahm Emanuel is likely to overshadow those issues.
Mary Mitchell is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. Maria de Los Angeles Torres is director of the Latin American and Latino Studies Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. She teaches political science also, and they are with us from their respective offices in Chicago. Thank you both so much for keeping us abreast of this moving story.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up, the bonds between young girls aren't always made of sugar and spice and everything nice.
I learned pretty early on, one, how to be truly a good friend to other girls, and also to steer clear of the girls who were not friends to me.
So how can moms help keep relationships on the right track? The Moms and the author of The Twisted Sisterhood are just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.